people were, you know, questioning amongst themselves, what, you know, who is this that's amongst us? But verse 2, it cuts off the second advent. So Christ came, is coming, he came, he was born of the Virgin, he came, he paid the price for our sins, he lived a sinless life, he came and he did that. That was advent number 1. Now we're talking about advents, we're talking about feet on the ground, like Jesus being here on the earth, like being here. And that was the first time. So the next time that he comes, it's going to be destruction. There's going to be a lot of work that he has to do. In between those two times, which we can get confused about, and people that will get some of the end time events mixed up, is the Lord coming for the church when he comes. He doesn't come all the way to the earth. The Bible says we go to meet him in the air, we'll meet him in the clouds. And that's not the second advent. We're talking about the Lord coming and defending Israel, wiping out nations. And we read a passage there in Revelation. We read some of the other passages speaking of the time that's going to come. Hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen. Chapter 63, the first 6 verses, talks a little bit about that. We won't go into that tonight because we'll need to be in that here in a couple of weeks. But tonight we're going to start in verse 3, have a word of prayer. And then we're going to continue down here, seeing what takes place after the Lord has clean house, so to speak, after he's come the second time. Father, we do pray that you'd help us as we look at your word. We pray that you'd work in hearts tonight. We just thank you so much for your word, that we have it and we can use it. We can live by it. We can be directed, yield ourselves to it. We do pray that you bless the memorization going on tonight, Lord, and the rally coming up, that the people would be spoken to, Lord, by the preaching of your word. And I pray scripture would work in hearts tonight. We'll surely thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So after the Lord has come, after he's come and he has taken out the enemies of Israel, the enemies of the Lord, verse 3, the Bible says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. I think we read verse 3 last week. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure we did. But he's going to turn things. Things are going to be different. If you saw verse number 1 and you just look at the things that he's preaching, the Bible says, normally we preach tidings unto the meek to bind up brokenhearted, right? Fixing things. Fixing people. That's what Christ does. He fixes people. We're supposed to have Christ and take Jesus to people, but when we love things, it's like, you know, you go to make toast this morning and there's a massive spark and I'm like, oh, start on fire, burn, you know, but I'm just like 2020, you know, you see all the pictures. I got a box in the mail the other day. It just was obliterated. It was, you know, you see those pictures, you know, 2019, everything was perfect. And then if 2020 was a fishing trip, was the latest one I saw, it shows the guys on Jaws going out to fish, you know, like, you know, it's like, that's kind of how it is, you know. I don't care anymore. I just like, it blows up. God just starts a truck today. Doesn't do a thing, but my solenoid went out, brother. It's just like, it was done, you know. But it's like, oh, okay. I need to be in practice in about 45 minutes, you know. I have the best looking chauffeur in town, though. So I called her up, and she's faithfully at work. I said, I'm so glad we don't live like, lots, you know, great distance from the school. But I'm telling you, you love things. Things will let you down. I won't work. I'll blow up in your face. Want a toast. I want a toast so bad. You know, and I explained to Lily how the toaster works on the principle of resistance and electricity. And I said, you know, we had school today, you know, it was wonderful. But I want a toast. So they put it in the right side, and it got warm. It didn't get toasted, but it's like, supposed to love people, right? Jesus said, I'll bind up the brokenhearted. It's amazing seeing people get fixed. When machines get fixed, it's just like, yay, it works, right? And you're going, oh, good, and that's good. That's what you expect. But, man, to help somebody and to see them like, wow, I think they're really getting help. It's amazing. We'll go round and round. Listen, pastor friends and I will talk about some of the different things. The Bible talks about healing, right? Because you can get way, you know, there's all this stuff. You can help heal people spiritually, like just, and it's, and a lot of times, just by being who Christ wants you to be. It's not by being anything
in the flesh, anything super above what you... Because there's nothing here. There's nothing in the flesh that's going to help people. Ah, but Christ in you can help people. Kindness to somebody. Just listening to people. How many people do you think the Lord Jesus listened to? I need this. I need... And some people just wanted something from me to listen to them. Then to help them, to give them the words of life. And that's what Jesus does. We get involved with things, we'll miss out on the opportunity to see people bound, to see people bound up that were broken, people to understand liberty in the Lord Jesus. It's an awesome thing. It's like, man, look, you don't have to serve sin. You don't have to serve the old man. You don't have to do those things. You can make a choice otherwise to serve the Lord, opening up the prison to them that are bound, still people bound even in the church houses. Even today, they don't understand this and have never been set free. The Bible says, beauty for ashes, verse 3. The oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning. When we saw the prophet going to the Shunammite for oil and saying, I mean, oil was precious. I think that's what we talked. We finished last week. We were talking about mint oil. When you have lots of oil, things are good. Things are good, and the Holy Spirit is likened to oil. It's described as a lubricant, something that takes the strife away. If you ever find yourself short with people, you'll find yourself short with Bible reading. And short on prayer for that person. I don't know. I got to go meet with this person. Better pray. Better pray right too, Lord. Just tell the Lord, right? He already knows. Lord, I struggle. I really don't like this person. I know that. Well, you want me to love him, don't you? Yeah, that'd be wonderful. Wouldn't that be great? We all get along. It'd be wonderful. Okay, but they may not get along. You can't control the other people. Can you control the people? No. Oh, we try, right? Or otherwise, we'd really try. I could get them to... No, but you could love on them, right? Get your heart right. We pray. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. That's what He does. But we're short on Bible. We're short on prayer. We're short with other people. Just happens. Long on prayer. Long on Bible. You'll be long with people. You'll sit and listen. You're like, oh my soul. Thought this was going to take 5 minutes or 5 hours later, right? Or whatever it is, right? You say, uh-huh. 10 jillion times, right? And care. Because you say, you know what, Lord? You care about me. I whine and bring my drivel to you. And you care, right? We got to do those things. The Lord's going to do those things. The Bible says, beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning. Now, He tells us in Ecclesiastes, the house of mourning is important. He said it's better to go there than the house of mirth. It's better to be in the house of mourning. It says, because we really think there. We get a real grip there. But we're talking about here is people that have been mourning and mourning and mourning. And it's time of mourning be over. I'm for it, right? I'm for the grieving process and I'm for all that stuff. You grieve and grieve for years, there's something wrong, right? It's a season. There's a time to and a time not to. I said, look, where's the healing part? It's like bleeding all the time from the same wound. If your wound's open all the time for a long time, then it's like, you know, when people check you for MRSA or whatever, it's like, why isn't it healing? Or cancer, right? Because the cells aren't working right. Something's not right there. He comes and He binds us up. That balm of Gilead's supposed to heal people. It's supposed to heal. He applies it. It said, Lord, you make it right. Can't change it. You make it right. You've made it right. I get that healing there. And He applies that for our mourning, that oil. The Bible says the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How many of y'all think you can spot the spirit of heaviness in people? Oh, mercy. Isn't it clear? I look like they just want to go pull the bags off their back and all the rocks and everything else. It's terrible. They stoop. It's just tough. Now the Bible says He'll change those things. He'll change them. The garment of praise, right? Instead of woe is me, He said, we're giving praise to the Lord. Rejoice unto the Lord always, right? And the Bible says He'll do those things. He'll do those things. If you're one of those, if you're, you know, up and down, right? We don't want to be up and down. We want to be consistent. Okay? Say, oh, if it's really going good, if we win an election, then I'll be able to praise. Oh, man. You're setting yourself up here for the spirit of heaviness. I just tell, right? Like, no. You just let God take care of those things, right? He'll work all things together like we were doing on Sunday night. He'll work those things together. He'll give us that spirit. He'll give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Okay? Is it weird to compare people to trees? Not so much if you read the book of Psalms, right? He shall be like a tree. Yeah. Trees are awesome. Trees tell a lot. I've been watching one of my spruce trees. Like, they're all getting whacked by the beetles, right? And I'm like, oh, spruce tree, be strong, be strong. And I said, but you can't run. You know, trees can't run. They got to stand and fight, right? I mean, it's like, they are where they are, right? And it's like, yeah, and the bottom starts turning brown. I'm like, oh, yeah, right? There's going to be another one. Just the way it's going to be. And the birch are like, yay, they're not birch beetles. They're spruce beetles. Yay, right? I mean, the trees, it tells such a story, right? About to lose all our leaves. Like I said, we were driving through the Golden Corridor. It's so pretty right now. It's awesome. Showed up at the football field, man. There's leaves blowed on it. It's because of the wind and Palmer or whatever. But it's like, it's awesome. It's a cool time of year. Like it. Like it a lot. We're compared to that tree. You look at a beautiful tree, just stare at it. And you give praise to God. He knows all those trees. He makes all the trees. I'm not a tree hugger, people. Son of a logger, we need paper. Right? In many areas of our lives, we need paper, but anyway, we're not going down that road, but praise the Lord. Compared to trees, the planting, the Bible says, of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Where is he going to plant you by? That river, right there, right on the bank. I mean, you see some of the coolest, right? It's there. All the years we came up, 2002 is the first year we came up. And we fished an opener on Montana Creek, and it was like a Friday night, midnight opener, and we're like wading out in the middle of this thing. You know, I'm just thinking to myself, I'm wading out in the middle of this river I've never been on. You know, my uncle's like, there's a sandbar out there somewhere. You know, it's because the bank was already crowded with people. I'm like, this is nuts. And all of a sudden, I feel this thing hit my leg, you know, and another thing hit my leg, and a salmon are coming by. You're like running into us where we're at. It's like, this is exciting. Well, I was like, you know, what was that, 2002? How old was I then? 19. Yeah, I was 19 years old. You know, didn't catch any fish. I mean, the opener, it was like an hour. I think one fish got caught. So we left and we went to Sheep Creek and got to learn Sheep Creek. It used to be huge log jams on Sheep Creek, like 2000, I don't know if it was 6, 7, somewhere there was a huge fall. You guys got a ton of rain and it just blew stuff out. I mean, there was a log jam. I mean, it was huge. It just like, it went clear across. You could see fish come up this one channel because it was so shallow, and you see their backs coming out of the water, like, oh, one's coming, it'll be here in a few minutes, you know, type of thing. It was, but you come, and these trees are like leaning over the bank, right? And then the next year you come, and it's, you know, gone, or it's, you know, getting a little closer to the water. But the trees mark things. They're important. And for you to stand for the Lord and to stand for right and not to move, that's the thing about it. You may learn so much from a tree. Doesn't move. It stays there, right? Time keeps going, but that tree's still there. It can be counted on. Many animals count on the trees. They're dependent upon them. But it's the Lord's planting, the Bible says. Verse 4, they shall build the old wastes. Okay, you get to Ezra and Nehemiah, and they build up Jerusalem again. Okay, in this time, okay, after you have tribulation, I mean, the Bible says that in 3.5 years, it doesn't reach the second 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, the Bible says, because flesh wouldn't survive. It gets so bad on the earth, people wouldn't make it. It's the things that have breath, they wouldn't make it. So God cuts it short out of his mercy. So, I mean, you can imagine what's going to happen. Towns are going to be, I mean, this place is going to be messes. I mean, war zone, I mean, it's just going to be bad. It's going to be terrible. Those places are going to get fixed up. Those places that would bring, you know, glory to the Lord, this place where the Lord would be worshipped. The Bible says, they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, right? I-E-S, not just city, okay? The waste cities, there'll be a number of them. Desolation of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Okay? So we're talking about aliens here. We're talking about people that aren't Israelites, right? Aren't the Jewish people, the Gentile people. And sometimes they're talked about as aliens. Sometimes the Old Testament, they were the neighboring countries that were to be driven out in Canaan. They're the alien people, right? It's like aliens. I knew they were there. They're in the Bible the whole time, right? We've been looking up and they were right there in front of us. They're just not Jewish people, right? The Bible says, they shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, right? The Lord's people are going to be blessed in those days as well. Ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Right? Remember when I'd made mention about the Old Testament sacrifices getting reinstituted in the New Testament? This is one of those passages where that could lead you to thinking like that. And there's some things in eschatology that I just don't worry too much about. I said, you know what, Lord? You know, I don't know exactly. You know, but praise the Lord. It says, priests of the Lord, men shall call you the ministers of God, of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. For your shame, ye shall have double. The Bible says, and for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For those that obey, those that do right. For I, the Lord, love judgment. And verse 8, he says, I hate robbery for burnt offering. Imagine stealing from somebody and then putting it right here. Oh, and then better yet, telling people about it, right? Not that you stole it. That, oh man, I was able to give such and such. Nobody knows, right? Nobody knows. You and God. You think God thinks that smells good? But he says right here, he tells them, I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Verse 9 says, their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I mean, it's going to be pretty important. I mean, people are going to say, what's the big deal about Israel? After this time, they're going to see it. They're going to say, yeah, Israel's pretty important. Everything's kind of centered around them. Isn't that interesting how that happens? I think we should stick with them. Yeah. It's just trying to get people to believe that now before all this stuff happens and saying, hey, look, God cares about them. Don't policy out them out of stuff. Don't forget them in your foreign administration. Don't do that. You got to remember to take care of these people. They're very, very, very important because they're God's people. Verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. I believe this is Isaiah speaking here and maybe speaking for those in the time to come. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. The Bible says when we read it in Revelation, when he comes, he's going to be wearing that. The Bible says righteous and true. He's going to be one wearing that, but then he covers us with that too. And it's just a picture, right? So in Romans chapter 4, the Bible says that his righteousness is imputed to us. Anybody thinks they can work for that? The Bible says by grace, if it was not for God, right? Through our faith in his shed blood. That's the only way. And he imputes it to us. He gives it to us. There's no earning. There's no working. There's no the best we can, our best day. Imputed. He puts it to our account. We have no touch on God's account. We can't reach in there and get behind and get his PIN and his password and all that stuff. He knows all of ours. And he says, I'm imputing my righteousness to Keith Garner's account. He's dirty, rotten scoundrel, no good sinner. So I'm putting it there. Once it's there, people, that's all he sees. Is Jesus. That's all he sees. All the rest he forgets about. The devil brings those thoughts of, oh man, your worst day, you're this, that. No, 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 no. East from west, pal. Depths of the sea, pal. And by our puny human calculations, the Mariana Trench is so, you know, I mean, that's the Bible. That's what the Bible says. Not, oh, here, you know, the Lord says, oh, but you're, no, 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 because he doesn't do that. The Bible says those that cause and sow strife bring up those things. they bring those things back up. Proverbs says they that want to sow strife, they bring up that stuff. We call it pot stirring, right? Let it be. Oh, hey, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And so we remember that the Lord, He's covered us in His righteousness, the Bible says, a robe of it, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments. Do you guys wear ornaments? I don't know. Pretty flashy. I don't know. I've never worn any ornaments. But anyways, we take them. If the Lord put them on us, we take them. And the Bible says, the bride adorneth herself with her jewels. So we know that all the ladies would have jewels for sure. Big diamonds, big ones, lots of jewels. But praise the Lord. Quite a picture. It's the Lord that does this. Verse 11. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. We're full of complaining, bickering, fighting. You name it now. I mean, there's no getting along. It's just this and that and this and they said this. And oh, man. The Bible says righteousness and praise. It's nice being around people that talk nice. That's why I love church because, people talk nice here. They talk nice to each other. They say nice things, you know. And I was like, why didn't I hear at church, you know? I'm at the high school. I'm around the kids. I'm like, you just want to, you know, here we go. I mean, I got up out of the meeting room. I got a kid. I was like, holy cow. I said, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Okay. No, I didn't say okay. Look up in here. Yes, coach. Okay. And I go and sit back down. Just gets at me. Man, we're just flipping about whatever. Oh. I got on my kids for like, oh, man, it's a couple of weeks. I wasn't, but I thought, man, I want to bring my kid to practice. I can't bring him to practice. You guys are speaking. One of these days, praise and righteousness, though, it's going to be great. You say praise the Lord a bunch of, around people like that, their heads are spin off. I mean, it's just like, whoa. Father, we thank you for your grace. Pray that you help us now in our prayer time, Lord. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for Wednesday night. Thank you for your word. And we do thank you for answers to prayer, Father, already this week. Great answers to prayer, Lord. We ask that you would help us, Lord. We'll bring them to you tonight when we're done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need a prayer slip tonight, we have one. Captain America will help you. I have not been in contact with Miss Corey